We have a couple who are who aren't with us today. And so one of the things I want to cover, said I was preaching this morning. The surprising part was you showed up. You can leave if you want, Mike. All right. I am not Brian, and I never intend to be, but I am actually going to take something out of Brian's page. So I had originally intended to start my scripture at Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. But in preparing and looking and reading, please allow me to back up and start in verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now the Amplified says, my witnesses is for us to tell the people. So we shall be his witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. As they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, and they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. And then returning to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. At this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of about 120 persons were there together. Let's pray. God, this morning, as we open your scripture, as we contemplate some of the things that you did while you were here, the things that had a profound life or a life-changing event in the lives of people you touched then, but Father, that continue to touch our lives and instruct us. Father, as we look at these encounters that you had with people, I just pray that we will see the depth, the richness that you have imparted to us by your grace through your Son. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Labor Day weekend, there were many of you that gathered together in this room as we remembered Jerry Hines, as we told stories about Jerry. If you'll remember, Brian opened up an opportunity for us to have an open mic. Well, at the time that started, we were all a little shy to start saying anything about Jerry. But one thing about it, once someone started, it just seemed the story started to flow. In fact, we heard stories for over an hour of what Jerry had done, the impact he had had on lives. shortly after Jerry's memorial, I got to contemplating Acts chapter 1. This time when, after the ascension of Jesus back into heaven, and mainly, and its scripture is clear, the apostles, they went to that upper room. I'm assuming that it was the same upper room that a few days before they'd had the Last Supper, but they were up there. Now, I stop just before Peter starts talking about the scripture, and the whole point of this scripture was the discussion to find the replacement for Judas. And I want everybody to know I did read that and I know it's there, but I'm not dealing with that. What I want us to think about, the text identifies that Peter himself was there along with the other apostles, but I'm making an assumption, and I'm going to ask you to give me a little bit of latitude here this morning. I'm assuming that Mary and Martha were there, because it said some other women, and they were there all the time, especially around Mary, Jesus' mother. And beyond this, it's not clear who else were there other than, as I said, the apostles. But at the risk of being cavalier, I'd like us to consider the possibility that there were conversations that could have occurred between others. I look at what happens here before church starts. We don't simply come in here and sit down and be quiet. In fact, in class this morning, we couldn't quit talking. I actually thought maybe Cliff was going to have to say, you know, we'll just continue to visit. We won't have class. Anyway, please bear with me. In that upper room, there's an example. Someone stood up and he said, you know, I'm not a wealthy man. In fact, on the day I was married, unbeknownst to me, the wine had run out. I was told that Jesus' mother Mary noticed and said to him, they have no wine. And as I understand it, he wasn't ready to get involved. But his mother told the servants, whatever he says for you to do, you go do it. Long story short, they went and they filled 6 water pots that contained 20 to 30 gallons of water. You know, that's 180 gallons of wine. I couldn't have afforded that. But when the head waiter tasted it, he came to me and he asked me why I had served the best wine until last. Jesus saved me and my family the embarrassment of running out of wine on such a special day. But more importantly, he showed me that he had rule over the supernatural. Next, a man asked to speak, and he said, my name is Legion. And constantly, night and day, I was screaming in the tombs. I was running around the mountains. I was gnashing myself with stones. In fact, some of the scriptures, if you read, say I was running around naked. No chains were able to bind me or to subdue me because of the demons within me were so many. In fact, the demons knew Jesus, and they shouted at him, Jesus, send us into the swine nearby. You know, Jesus allowed those swine to enter the pigs, and they ran down the hill into the sea and were drowned. After that, I regained my right mind. In fact, people saw me and they thought, what's going on here? I came and I implored him, let me go with you. But he said, go home to your people and repeat what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on me. The demons knew me, yet he proved his power over them. They could do nothing. All of a sudden, there was a very small, quiet voice. Spoke up. You could hardly hear him. One day, we were by the Sea of Galilee, and there was a large crowd who had followed Jesus because they wanted to be healed of their sickness, and they also wanted to see other signs. Jesus asked Philip, where are we going to get enough bread to feed all these people? Philip answered and said, 200 denarii wouldn't get us enough bread. Now, do you realize 200 denarii? That's a year's salary. My goodness. Andrew, that's Peter's brother, he told him that I had 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Jesus gave thanks, and they divided up the fishes and the loaves. Everyone ate their fill. We're talking 5,000 men. We didn't count the women back then, but I'm sure there was a bunch of them. But there were women and children on top of that. On top of everything else. When everybody had eaten everything they wanted, you know the answer. What? 12 basketfuls of leftovers. From what? 2 fish, 5 loaves. What a day to remember how he taught us about faith and God's ability to provide abundantly, pressed down and overflowing. Well, now all of a sudden, kind of like at Jerry's memorial, more people started getting anxious to get up. Well, I was one of 10 lepers who met Jesus in a village between Samaria and Galilee. The 10 of us raised our voice and cried out to him, Master, have mercy on us. He told us to go and show ourselves to the priests. You know, as we were going along, we noticed that we were clean. Wow. I just had to stop and turn around and go back to glorify God. With a loud voice, I fell down on my face at his feet to give him thanks. I couldn't believe that 9 others refused to return. But Jesus said, it was my faith that had made me well. I learned that listening to Jesus and then acting on his word yield powerful results. A hand went up in the corner. I'd sure like to tell my encounter. Jesus was in Capernaum, and this was probably, he was at Peter's house. So many people were gathered around that there was no room, not even by the door. Now, I was paralyzed, so I couldn't walk myself. In fact, I was on a pallet, but my friends picked me up, and they carried me, and they tried to find a way to get me in there to see Jesus. I'm going to tell you, they hauled me up to the roof. I thought, how are we going to get up there from the roof or see him from the roof? But you know what they did? They dug a hole in that roof, and they let me down and put me in front of Jesus. Jesus, seeing the faith of my friends, said to me, Son, your sins are forgiven. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine the Fuhrer that set off? They started this discussion, and it went on and on, and they accused him of blaspheming, saying, only God can forgive sins. Jesus used my situation to show his authority over sin. Then he said, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. So I did. Jesus tells you to do something, you need to. So I did, and they all watched me walk out the door on my own. You know, thinking back on this ascension or after the ascension, they were right. Only God can forgive sins, and he forgave mine. Well, at this point, a woman stood up. Now, I'm talking women didn't have a whole lot of standing in the Jewish community, but she stood up. She said, I'm a Canaanite, and my daughter was cruelly demon-possessed. I cried out to Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. But he didn't answer me. In fact, his disciples implored him to send me away because I kept shouting at them. Persistence, you know. He said, I was sent only to the sheep, or to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But I bowed down and I said, Lord, help me. And he said, it's not good to take children's bread from the table and throw it to the dogs. But I said, even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then he said to me, oh woman, your faith is great. It shall be done to you as you wish. My daughter was healed just by him saying that. My last hope in desperation was, Lord, help me, help me. He heard me, and he did. Well, now at this point, a guy stands up, and everybody in the crowd knew who he was. But Lazarus said, you guys no doubt know my story, and so do you. Mary and Martha are my sisters. They sent word to Jesus that I was sick. He was delayed 2 days after hearing that I was sick. Sometimes I scratch my head and I wonder about that delay. But by the time he got there, I was dead. When Jesus arrived in Bethany, I had actually been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus used the time when he was there to teach about him being the resurrection and the life. And if we believed on him, we would never die. As Jesus went to my tomb, the people said, oh, the stench is going to be too great. But Jesus removed the stone from that tomb. Then, for the benefit of those around him, he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Jesus had no doubt that his Father heard him, but for our benefit, he said that. Then Jesus said in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And I was raised to life. And I came out of that tomb. I was bound in burial clothes. As a result, many Jews believed in him, even to the point, do you realize they tried to kill me because they didn't want me walking around alive as a testament to Jesus' power? So many things come out about this period in my life that point to Jesus. The removing of that stone, bound in burial cloths, but most important of all, Jesus' power over death. Can you imagine? Well, I'm telling you, I could hardly wait till Lazarus sat down, so I just stood up. And by the way, my name's Martha. And as you've just heard, I am Lazarus' sister. One day, my sister Mary and I had Jesus over to our house, and I was busy fixing lunch. You know, I couldn't get that lazy sister of mine to help for anything. I was worried about it. I was bothered about so many things, but I finally went to Jesus. I said, "Would you get her to help? This is a lot of work." His reply is still ringing in my ears. "Martha, Martha, you're worried about and bothered about so many things, but this is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." Oh my, oh my. May I keep hearing those words, "Martha, Martha," ringing in my ears to remind me that when it's time for choices, I choose wisely. Well, now a familiar face jumped up. I'm Peter. You know, your guys' stories are pretty strong. They're pretty moving. He healed you. He healed your family members and friends. But I denied him. Not just once. 3 times. He told me beforehand I was going to deny him. I said, "No way. I will die with you." Yet, denied him anyway. On the day that he was being rejected by his father, by his friends, I did too. To this day, whenever I hear a rooster crow, I remember the guilt that I felt when that rooster crowed that night. My sin was rejecting him. How in the world could he forgive me? No way. Not at all. At least not from my perspective. He had told me earlier that he would give me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But how in the world could he trust me now? I denied him. Gave me. He continued to trust me to the point that he said, "Peter, feed my sheep." Well, you can imagine all of these stories, especially this one about Peter getting up in the group and telling his story. Scout gets up. She's not well liked by most of the people in the community. In fact, I'll let her tell you this story. "About noon, I went down to the well to draw water. That's when I met Jesus for the very first time, and he said, 'Give me a drink.' I thought, how unusual is this? I'm a woman. In fact, I know what kind of woman I am. And yet he talked to me. I'm a Samaritan. Jews don't talk to Samaritans." As we talked, he said something about living water, that I would never thirst again. He talked about eternal life. Now, I'm telling you, I didn't grasp these ideas at all. I didn't know what he was talking about. It was at this point he said, "Go get your husband." I said, "I don't have a husband." to my shame, my utter shame, he said, you're correct. You have had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Oh, I couldn't deal with this, man. I had to change the subject. As soon as he said it, it's like, okay, so where do we worship? See? I didn't want to deal with my sin. But even though I tried to change the subject, Jesus said, an hour is coming. Now is when true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And even though I changed the subject, Jesus used it as an opportunity to teach this profound truth. We're no longer tied to the temple. We get to worship in spirit and truth. I had no idea what he was talking about when he said, or excuse me, I missed a story I wanted to tell. Now that we are all together in this upper room, I remember Jesus saying that the Messiah is coming. His reply, or I said to Jesus, the Messiah is coming. His reply, I who speak to you am he. I had no idea what he was talking about when he said that I am he. But now that I've watched him ascend into heaven, I know he is the Messiah, the very one that our people have been waiting for so long. Now, I could go on, and we would miss dinner and a whole lot of other things. Time does not allow us to discuss the 29 other encounters that Jesus had in the four Gospels. Many of those, as you have seen, are in one. Some of them are in multiple. I've tried to list those out. But I encourage you to read the four Gospels, to be blessed at seeing Jesus' love at work. There were such things as Peter's mother-in-law, the man with the withered hand, many blind men. How many times are we blind? The walking on water, and the one I love the best, those big fishing stories, because I love to fish. In closing, this morning we have listened to these 10 individual encounters, and again, I want to emphasize, Peter was the only one that was there that was identified in the upper room in our text. The ones of the other nine that I presented have no biblical basis of being in that upper room. So I want you to know I'm stretching it here, but I did it so that perhaps we can drive home that Jesus can change lives. The groom, God working without our knowledge. Legion, overwhelmed and out of control. The small boy, so small, but God did amazing things through him. The leper reminds me, am I thankful for what God has done for me? The paralytic, surround yourselves with friends, because the friends are the ones that are going to carry us to the foot of Jesus for healing. The Gentile woman, the woman that said the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. I don't know of any of us here that are true Jews. We are all what? Gentiles. And God extended his grace to her. Lazarus, Jesus died for our sins to give us eternal life. Mary and Martha, may we choose wisely the things that we are called to make decisions on. Peter's denial. Every time you hear a rooster crow, may we think about God's grace in the well
Oh my goodness, do I accept instruction? Or do I just want to change the subject and run away? Consider each one of these 10. Contemplate how that has a parallel in each of our lives. If we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ alone, we will be amazed at how He will change the world. As we read in verse 8 this morning, that we are to be His witnesses. We are to tell the world about Jesus. Verse 11 says, Jesus is coming again. This idea should give us either fear, if we don't know Him, or unmeasurable joy, because we do know Him. I did not find Jesus. He found me, because He wasn't lost, I was. Guys, tell the story. I'd originally thought I would open this up for an open mic, but because of the vote that we have coming up a little later, I've decided to chicken out and not open it up as an open mic. But I implore each one of you, find a way to tell your story about what Jesus did to change our lives. And again, thanks for sticking around and not walking out on me. Let's sing.